Hey, is it officially though? It's Yom Tes Kislev tonight, right?
Tonight?
Okay, so we are here. I wouldn't typically do this, wow. You know, but we are in. Yeah, that's how'd you know? So it's nice to be here tonight in this building, you know, for us to learn some Bava Basra together. You know, on a very important day for a lot of Jews. For all of Jews. Yeah, we'll sing later. You'll have me in mind. So we've been spending time basically discussing the difference between Hezek Re'iyah in a Chatzer Hashutvin and Hezek Re'iyah from a Chatzer into a Chatzer. Into a Chatzer. Particularly as like it reflects or manifests itself when it comes to the issue of Chazakah. To kind of round out that discussion in terms of the difference between those types of Hezek Re'iyah, and obviously it should be clear to everybody, Hezek Re'iyah in a bigger way, I just want to finish off with this sugya on Intesim and Aleph that discusses Hezek Re'iyah of a Chalon. But remember, it's also one of the Gemaras we leaned on, Beis Amid Aleph, which is where we came from. You know, it's always important to know where you come from. Beis Amid Aleph told us about Hezek Re'iyah in a Chatzer, especially because of the Rif. And it's also, you know, important to know where you're going. Nintes told us about Hezek Re'iyah from a Chalon. So just to complete that, I just wanted to finish off with this sugya before moving on to our next topic. As you all know, we're never really moving on, but we're just turning a page to go towards another sugya that will teach us more about this concept we're working really hard to develop. So the Gemara over here says, we'll have someone read. I don't want to pick on someone who hasn't gotten a chance. Michael? So we'll have someone read. We'll have Michael read. From Nuntes Amud Aleph. This is so funny. Like, this just looks different. This gear, this defus. Okay. It really might be different. It's definitely the Bavli. It might just be different. I mean, we have to check it out with whoever the expert. It's fine, though. No. This is good. So the Gemara says, no, I have it. So the Gemara here discusses basically the status of a window looking into a chatzer. And it says as follows, starting from Amar Rabbi Zeira. Yeah, Michael.
Amar Rabbi Zeira.
So if you have a window that's below, within 4 amos, so I think I've made this mistake on a number of occasions. 4 amos wouldn't come out, I think I've been saying 10, but 4 amos would come out to about 6.5 to 7 feet. So it's pretty high. It's high enough that even a tall person couldn't really use that window to its fullest capacity. So you have a window within 4 amos. 4 amos is the shear of what? Billy, what's the shear of 4 amos relevant to us? The shear of Hezek Re'iyah. It's important to know. So within 4 amos, you basically have the Baal HaChatzer, the Baal HaChalon, the owner of the window, has this window within 4 amos, and it's a fully functional window. What I mean by fully functional is you get air through it, you know, you get circulation in the home. You get light, and you can even use it like to peer out of, for whatever the purposes of looking out are. It could be for Hezek Re'iyah, but it doesn't need to be. It could be just to look out of the window. Within 4 amos, it's a fully functional window. You have the whole range of things. And it's about this, right, Michael, that the Mishnah says, Rabbi Zeira is explaining, V'yachol limchos. Why, according to the Pashas, let's just assume the Pashas, why could he be mocha? Because of Hezek Re'iyah, within 4 amos, you can see me, you know, says the Baal HaChatzer to the Baal HaChalon. So therefore I can be Mocha. But what's equally important is that because the Baal HaChatzer can protest, then what, Sammy? Because the Baal HaChatzer can protest the window, for who? For the Baal HaChalon. Good. We discussed this. We're not discussing this anymore. But this is the case of Chalon that we've been speaking about. Now let's turn our attention to a different, it's not really a different window. Although, it's a different window, it's a little bit higher, but it makes, it seems, a world of a difference. What does it say? Meaning? You could translate it first, but also explain.
If it's above 4 amos, then he doesn't have a chazaka on the window, and the owner of the chazer can't protest.
Right, so this kind of, I would say, is like, it's like a stalemate, in a good way. In other words, it makes a lot of sense. You have a window that's above 4, so you don't have, it's not a fully functional window, because you can maybe get circulation, and you can get some light, but it's not something you're using, not something you can really look through it, even if, again, like I said, even if you're a very tall person, although it's interesting to wonder, like, how tall they were. I'm sure people were thinking, like, how tall were they, you know, across different times, different generations, but certainly in our time, even if you have like a Yao Ming type of person, he's not going to be able to really use the window that's 7 feet tall. Just imagine, his eyes are kind of just like barely, you know, getting above the surface. So you can't really fully use it. And either way, it's not something you use for that. So it makes sense that the Baal HaChatzer, the Baal HaChalon, is, you know, kind of doing his own thing. He can keep his window. But the Baal, you know, HaChatzer, also, he can't protest at all. What's the big nafkamina of this? Because at the end of the day, it sounds like the Baal HaChalon can keep his window. Because if he can't be protested, so he can keep his window. So the big nafkamina is what? We've discussed this. Just important that everyone's aware. If I have no chazaka on a window, that means that I don't have, you know, I don't have unrestricted rights. If the Baal HaChatzer, let's call him Shimon for argument's sake. You know, we'll make him into Shimon. If Shimon wants to come and build things around my window, as long as it's in his own property, obviously, then he can. We have a halacha that if I am the owner of a window that has been awarded a chazaka, that someone can come along, even in their own property, and build in places and heights that will close up and block my window from being used. That's what we call shelo ya'apil keneged chalon shel chaveiro. So that's going to be the nafkamin in this case. In other words, even though Shimon, the Baal HaChatzer, can't protest the window can stay up. He doesn't have to hire a construction worker to shut it down. He still can, though, build in his property however he likes. He can build the Berlin Wall, you know, as long as it's in his own property, obviously. And that blocks up the other guy's window. It has the same effect as closing up the window, but it's very different in terms of the legal, I guess, legitimate, rights that each one of them has. Would you say that, Michael, would you say that Rabbi Zeira Shita sounds, you know, makes sense?
Yes.
Sounds pretty reasonable. But then we get to Rabbi Ila.
Rabbi Ila, says, Afilu l'mal ma'arba amos, even above for amos, ein lo chazaka, he doesn't have a chazaka, v'yach olimpos.
Right, so again, the ein lo chazaka part we understand very well.
Right?
Right. Why?
Because it's above 4 amos, so there would be no concept of there someone being quiet. Like there is no.
Right. You know, it's still. It's not. It's not something. What?
Right.
Why not? Which means that it's hard to prove that Shimon's silence should be meaningful.
Right.
Because this isn't a constant. It isn't used. It's not really hezekriya. But then, what's the problem? Rabbi Ilah says, Yochel Limchos, that the Baal HaChatzer, Shimon, I'm just going to call him Shimon, can protest the window. It's like, what is that? It doesn't sound like it's very much. So the Gemara says, the Gemara actually kind of, it doesn't say this explicitly, but I'm guessing, the Gemara kind of does think this ability to tell him to take down his window above 4 amos is kind of strange. It doesn't seem like it has good, you know, firm, let's say, you know, a firm claim, a firm ground. So the Gemara kind of assumes there's nothing here really that Shimon has a right to, that Shimon should therefore be legitimately, you know, telling Reuven, our owner of the window, to close the window. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is the very next, you know, the initial thrust of the Gemara to explain the Shoresh HaMachlokes between Rabbi Zeira and Rabbi Ilah. Let's leave out the Chazaka part for just a minute. They basically disagree whether or not the Baal HaChatzer can protest the window. Reb Zeira says he cannot. Makes sense. And Rabbi Ilah says he could. And we have no idea why that should be true. To tell you the truth, the Gemara doesn't really understand it either. So the initial thrust of the Gemara is to say as follows. What's their machlokas about?
Maybe they're arguing about whether we, like,
We force people not to be like, right.
Not to have sodomite
I like that. Yeah. Okay. You have to be careful how you translate Midas Sodom. We have people here that hold you to your word. It's scary. Yeah.
So one opinion holds that we are kofin. One opinion holds we're not kofin. Rabbi Zera would be the one that we're kofin. Bilal would be the one that we're not.
Exactly. So now, just to people, let me explain this line of this and again, what the machlokas the Gemara initially imputes to Rabbi Law, Rabbi Zera is. There's a principle called kofin al midas sedom. Before we talk about whether we force people or don't force people, so what is midas sedom? Joy, what's midas sedom? You have two options. You know, not unlimited, but you have more than one option. You can go with the Mishnah's explanation. I'm referring to Pirkei Avos, Pirkei Halacha Yud, or you can go with Baba Kama Dav Chav.
Isn't it just like immoral behaviors and intentions?
So that's what you would expect. Midas sedom. Well, why are you saying that? I'll ask someone else. Jakey, why is he saying that? That Midas Sodom is immoral?
That's like the mitzvahs we learned like when we were younger.
Because when you read Psukim in, you know, in the Parsha about Sodom, about Lod, about destruction of Sodom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't destroy anything like that, you know, after, let's say, the Mabul, ever again. He overturned Sodom and Amorah. Midas Sodom, we'd expect. Again, this is not what I'm looking for right now, but it's important for something I'll say later. You'd expect Midas Sodom to be very heinous, to be the most terrible thing. And then, by the way, let me just say this, that would justify what? If it was as Joey was saying. It would justify kofin. Whereas the worse you see the Midah of Sodom, the more likely it is to justify why we would force someone on a Midah, why we would force someone to give up financially, you know, for this so-called Midah Sodom, because it's intolerable. But what is Midas Sodom? In the back?
A lack of tznius.
A lack of tznius. I like that. That means hezek, you know, you're in the hezek riyah zone. So Midas Sodom, basically, you could say it in one of two ways. I'll say it in the Mishnah way, and then I'll say it in the Gemara way. The Mishnah says that Midas Sodom is Shali Shali. What's mine is mine, and what's yours is yours. In Gemara, the way it describes it, Baba Kama, other places, the Rashbam later, he may even mention it here, is Zeh Nehene V'Zeh Lo Chaser. That in a situation, let's use ours for a moment, just for an example, where Shimon, Shimon has nothing to lose, he can enjoy his property, you know, Tznius, Sodom, we'll say that for you. I'm sure they weren't so tzanu, but maybe they were. We have to figure out what Sodom is. He can enjoy it, you know, full of Tznius, privacy, you know, decorated, and yet he's protesting that Reuven should have to take down his window. Reuven benefits tremendously from this window. He gets air, you know, in his, anyone who lives in dorms understands how important air circulation is, you know, for the, so that it doesn't become like Kutra and Beis HaKisei. And then also as far as, you know, and then the light, and then as far as the Baal HaChatzer is concerned, he stands nothing to lose. He doesn't lose money, he doesn't lose privacy, he loses nothing. So the Gemara suggests that maybe Rabbi Zeira and Rabbi Ilah are arguing whether or not we're kofin Amidah Sedom. Rabbi Zeira says, "Amada, we are." And surprisingly enough, in the initial thrust of the Gemara, Rabbi Ilah says, "We're not kofin. We are not. You can be like a sodomite, you know, as long as you want, as much as you want. It may not. We may not be happy with you. It may not be a good midah to harbor. You don't want to teach your children that. Certainly isn't recommended." But that doesn't mean we could force you to act in Choshe Mishpat, you know, like a Mezera Avram Avinu. So that's the Gemara that they're arguing whether or not we force on Midas Sodom. But the Gemara, you know, I'll add, I guess, the Ritva's comment now. The Ritva doesn't understand how anybody could possibly hold Kofin al Midas Sodom. So he says, it's, you know, this Havamin in the Gemara, that this is their Machlokas, is very short-lived. In the end of the day, we're going to say everyone agrees that kofin al midas sedom, we're going to need to find another explanation for their shorash ha-machlokes. But it's just worth noting that you have a machlokes here. There's only one other gemara, which is actually in Bava Basra and Kuf Samaches, where it also records, potentially, at least in, as a havamina, a machlokes, whether or not we're kofin. But then in the other three or four places that midas sedom appears, and the rest of Shas only appears like six times, the other times, it doesn't record a machlokas, it just assumes kofin al midas sodom, and gives an example of what that midas sodom on which we're kofin might be. So this is a very important gemara for midas sodom. Hopefully we'll get to say a word or two about it when we get back, but that's obviously rejected by the gemara. It's not midas sodom. So what is their machlokas?
Everyone agrees that we're kofin on
Baruch Hashem, right? I mean, not necessarily, but you know, we can dramatize it. V'shani
hacha.
So let's translate, right?
So,
there are times zimnin demosvas that you'll place a sharshifa. What's a sharshifa?
A bench, as Rashi.
A safsal, right? Good. Totach.
In your property.
Underneath you. The kayamta,
and you'll, look through
you'll stand on it. The kachazis, and you'll see through the above four amma window. I assume there's some limit if the window is like really, really high.
Yeah.
There's no bench in the world, you know, that you'd be able to see through. But again, lemalam avramos. That's why Rabbi Ilah says he can be mocha because there is hezek ri'ah here. There's at least suffik hezek ri'ah. And what does Rabbi Zeira say? He says either we're not really concerned for that, it's not going to happen, or even if it does, we don't care. You're not allowed to be kofin on something which is only a suffix at best. Or number one, he just thinks maybe it's not going to happen, it's very unlikely. Or even if it is very likely, that doesn't mean that for every likelihood, we force, you know, we allow you basically to force the other guy to limit himself in his own property.
Hmm.
Right? Fine, yeah.
Is that somewhat like,
yeah, but then the question is, where is the window relative to where you can stand? Yeah.
Is it relative to where you stand or relative to
where you stand? Probably where you stand, although it's a good question because there's probably another thing to ask, which is like, how high are you up to his chatzer?
Yeah.
If you're like in the sky and his chatzer is all the way on the bottom, I don't know if there's hezek ri'ah there, but that would be a separate.
Chances are there's a shusar avim.
What if you have like a skyscraper next to like, you're saying that wouldn't happen? But if it did, it's a good question about like how far away, we should wonder about this in general, how far away is it no longer hezek ri'ah?
Is there also an aspect?
Like you see a person in the distance, but what?
Wide? Like let's say you have a massive backyard.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
so the Rishonim discussed that. The Rishonim discussed that a lot, yeah. Yeah, very good. So this is the machlokes. We should note here, I think Sammy made this point, other people may have made it also. We should note here that it seems at the end of the day, basically, they agree we're kofin al midas sodom, but there's real hezek ri'ah here. But we have an interesting case. Let's finish the Gemara first. Hahu de asa lekame, Michael.
Hahu de asa lekame derav Ami, Shidar lekame.
To Rabbi Abba Bar Mamal. So someone brought a shaila, basically, to Rabbi Ami. They brought him basically this case, and he paskined that the Baal HaChatzer can be mochel. In other words, even though it's above Arba Amos, he can be mochel. Because the fact that he can be Mosev Shashifa, he can put a stool there and see, is a problem of Hezek Ri'ah. This is exactly the Rashbam says, is the Halacha, this is how we paskin in Shulchan Aruch. This is how we paskin. We paskin like the Shita, that the potential hezek ri'ah is hezek ri'ah, is grounds for being mocha. We should just appreciate for a minute, you know, exactly what this is. Is this just that, you know, a suffix hezek ri'ah is enough to be concerned about? There's some threshold at which, you know, our concern reaches a level of caution. Caution that we allow ourselves to take matters into our own hands. Let's say, you know, it's a 70% chance that the guy's going to bring a bench in, see? So even though 30% of the time, you know, I'm living in my chatzer and nobody, the window which is above four amos isn't affecting me, maybe a 30% chance is enough, a 70% chance, I'm sorry, is enough to say, well, even that would be a chiddush, but even that, you can force the guy to close up his window. Apparently even then a suffix hezek ri'ah, you know, is so terrible that we tell you can take the guy's window down. That'll be fascinating. Even if it's D'oraisa, it doesn't mean that you can force him to close his window. It just means that he can't look. Yeah, we're talking about a case where him having the window may cause you a lack of privacy. That's not something d'oraisa where there's already a problem, and we're trying to figure out, you know, whether to be machmir or mekel.
So it's a double statement.
So here, yeah, here it's an outsized chance, but it's a legitimate, like 60%. And then it could be that Reb Zera is basically saying, I don't buy it. Like, either there is hezekriya right now, or there's not. Suffik hezekriya is a chiddush to say that you can force someone to not potentially be mazik you with hezekriya. I mean, we should appreciate that. But there's another suggestion. Anyone have any ideas? Either way, this gemara is really important because it tells you, right, that suffik hezekriya is hezekriya, and that's how we paskin. I mean, again, you haven't violated anything necessarily. But at least the other guy can make a taina against you. The other option I think is really important is that the fact that you sitting in your chatzar know that it's 60% possible he'll look at you already creates a psychological reality where you're always looking over your shoulder. If I know that he can look at me 60% of the time, I won't catch him, I won't notice, I know it's possible. That means even when he's not, perhaps that's part of what it means to have privacy too. It means that, again, it's still a chiddush, but it means that you also have the ability to be confident that you're not being watched when you're in your property. And as long as it crosses a certain percentage, maybe we assume that that is going to be a real violation of your peace of mind, in addition to your privacy. That would be a fascinating idea if it were true. I can't prove it to you. But these are two ways of understanding Rabbi Ilah, who he paskin like, and Rabbi Zera disagrees in either one or both of those assumptions. There's a problem, though, you know, when we paskin like Rabbi Ilah, there's a problem in the end of the day that the Rishonim raise. Now we're getting, you know, we've spent some time just speaking about Chalon. Now we get back to our old friend, not such old friend, but our old friend of Chatzer, two people living in an adjacent properties. What's the kasha of the Rishonim? So the Shulchan Aruch paskins. Yeah, let's read the Shulchan Aruch maybe. Or we can read the Gemara. Should we read the Gemara? I think we should read the Gemara. Yeah, so let's turn to the Gemara and Dav Hey, Amar Aleph. But you're referring to Hey, Amar Aleph. Yeah. So the Gemara in Hey, Amar Aleph basically says, what does it say? Let's have someone read. Billy, you have a Gemara? If you don't, I'll ask someone else. Yeah? So the Gemara, the Mishnah is on Ham and Aleph. So two people have a wall in between their property. How big is this wall? No, no, meaning though they had a wall already and then it came down. How was the original wall? We don't know. It could have been really high, whatever it is. Right? But when they have to build it back if it falls down. How high do they have to build it? Ad arba amos. Until 4 amos. But skip a little bit. Okay, Becheska Shenasan Achevi Raya Shevona. So we assume he contributed as he was supposed to. But what do we say? May arba amos. But more than 4 amos, even if the wall was originally 10 amos. We only forced them to build it back up 4. Why would that be? Why do you think, Billy? Two people live in touching courtyards. Now the wall between them, you know, it broke down. So why, even if it was a big wall, why do we have this obligation to... To solve the problem of hezekriya, you just need to build. So if in a case where the wall fell down, we only make you build it 4 amos... Yet we're concerned for hezekriya, you'll take a sharshifa, stand there and see over 4 amos. The kasha of the Rishonim is, why do we only make you build it 4? We should make you build it even higher. Because dilma, mosiv la sharshifa, you know, you'll stand on it and you'll be mazik and biriya. We passing the Rabbi Law after all. That is whose question? The Ramban's question. Yeah, Joey.
At what point could we say like,
you're asking an amazing question. Like, ain't le davar sof. So I assume that there is some point at which we cut it off. I just don't know what that is. And I think it is tricky. But is it a reason to say, well, if we can't solve it, you know, unequivocally, then we shouldn't try to solve it at all? I don't know.
It's kind of like to say that people who are so to find that they want to see it's your property or whatever.
Like they'll find a way.
They'll find a way to do it.
Right. So I wonder, like, what if you have like a wall that's like 40 amos?
Like, we should stop the normative way of Hezekiah, and beyond that, it's like, okay.
I would agree with you, except that we paskin, that's not the case.
Why?
By a window.
My question is what?
Why do we?
Why do paskin?
Because apparently the fact that he could is enough of a reason to protest. That he could, on a, apparently it's not enough for us here to just go based on like the goodwill, like, and that ein lo davar sov, like it's never going to end. It's an important thing that you're asking. I don't want to minimize it. In the world of halacha, we do say sometimes ein lo davar sov, like how much you're going to be. But apparently we're chosh yeshir. So that's the kasha. The truth is, everyone with me on the question. The truth is that this question actually comes up before. The Ramban asks it. Let's just read the beginning of the Ramban. Maybe we'll go back to Moshe. So let's read the beginning of the Ramban. What's the Ramban's kasha? It's underlined the first page, the third source. Yeah. But exactly that question. We're choshesh when it comes to chalom, but we're not choshesh when it comes to rebuilding a wall. The truth is, though, you could ask the question much earlier, and I don't blame the Ramban for not asking it, but this question comes up even not in a case of a wall that fell, that needs to be rebuilt. The Rambam says, this is just good information to know, in Hilchos Shechinim, Perek Beis, Halacha, I think it is Tes Zayin, the Rambam basically says, let's say you have two people, they just became partners. They just became neighbors. There's no wall between them. And we know Hezek Riesh Mehezek, so they have to build a wall. There was no wall before. How high does a wall have to be between two adjacent properties? Don't tell me a case where there was already a wall and you're talking about building up the wall. Stop a case. Two people, they never had a wall between them. How high does the wall have to be? So the Rambam says in Halacha Tes Zayin, Kama Gova Hakosel. How high is this wall? Ein Pachos Me'arba Amos. Minimum of four. For the wall to protect against Hezekiah, and that's what he's talking about here. You know, Shalo Yehe Avir Sheyestakeb Ovir Es Chaveiro. It needs to be four amos. So why ever, when it comes to a chatzer, is the minimum requirement only four when it really should be in truth, based on Rabbi Ilah, much higher? So the Rishonim basically give, you know, three kinds of answers. One suggestion is the suggestion that the Ramban quotes in the name of the Ravid. Anyone familiar? Basically, the suggestion is that when it comes to someone having a window in their house, so in someone's house, sharshifos, you know, benches are all over the place. So it's very likely that you may bring a sharshifa up to your window. But in a chatzer, sharshifas aren't just lying around in people's open outdoor properties. So in a chanami, maybe if there was a sharshifa in a chatzer, or if they were likely to be found there, we would say that the shear of a kosel in a chatzer has to be higher. But because we don't find sharshifos in open courtyards, although we do in houses, that's why we're not choshesh. But in a chanami, we would be. In other words, there isn't any really fundamental difference between chatzer and chalon, but the likelihood of finding benches, you know, ultimately determines whether we're choshesh or not. That's one simple answer. We'll read it inside. Says the Ramban, V'taima de Milsa. Everyone with me?
Yeah.
Maybe we'll go back to Billy. V'taima, this is the problem. I pick on you since we know each other from Nancy's Wakolo days. V'taima de Milsa. It's right after the underline. He's quoting. Yeah. Sharshiva b'chatzer. What does that mean?
I don't know.
This is the answer we just said. So let's read. That it's the milsa de lo avid inish, time of the milsa, sorry, de lo avid inish lo sube sharshiva b'chatzer. It's not normal for people to have sharshifos in their courtyards. But Lu Yitzir it was, we would say kofin. We would say the walls to be higher. That's one answer. Then there's another set of answers, basically. The next line in the Ramban is one of them. There's a set of answers that basically, for psychological or structural reasons, thinks even if there were sharshifos to be found in courtyards, still we just wouldn't have that concern. Like I said, for psychological or for structural reasons. Does anybody know any of those? They're very subtly different, but the Rishonim discussed. Anybody know anyone who says any of these? This group?
You're going to be afraid that the guy's going to see you peeking over the chatzar, but when you're inside your own house looking out the window, no one's going to see you inside and you'll be able to look without.
Exactly. Who says that? Quoting?
The
Ravid.
The Ravid.
This is great. The next line in the Ramban is Va'od, Billy, de Bechatzer. But when you're in an open courtyard and you have a wall, if you peek over the wall, the other guy, and he's the other guy's there, obviously, he's going to see you. So you're not going to do it because you're afraid you'll get caught. But in your house, where you're peeking out of a window, it's very possible you won't get caught, he won't see you, and you're not afraid to look. And that's exactly why there's no concern at all, even if there were sharshivos in a chatzer. We just wouldn't be choshesh that someone would do this because of the fear factor. The Rama says this idea a little bit, it's very similarly, but it's a subtle, I'll say it first and then we'll read it. Instead of highlighting the factor of fear, that you have fear in a chatzer but not inside your home from a window, he instead says that when it's happening in a chatzer, the other guy will see you and will know and be able to protect himself from you seeing him. Even if you do it, he'll know, he'll be aware of it, he'll be able to make sure he's not doing anything too private, that he's worried he may be seen if you're in a if the Hezek Riyah possibility is all happening in a chatzer. But if he's in his house, you just have no way of protecting yourself. It's less about whether he's actually going to have the guts, basically, the mazik, whether the mazik's going to have the guts to do it, but does the nizak have any chance, to protect himself, against the potential hezek re'iyah in these places respectively? In a chatzer, because it might happen, you'll be able to see him, you'll know. But in a chalon, it's so hard to figure out, it's so hard to know when to be private, when not to. And therefore, even though, again, it's very similar because, it's about him catching the guy spying on him. But it's less about whether the mazik has the guts and more about the nizak being able to protect himself. Says the Yad Rama in his first answer. That's Sammy, do you want to read it? Shtei tshuvos bedavar, it's the Yad Rama. Chada.
Is it the second paragraph?
Shtei
tshuvos bedavar.
Yeah. So the chalon's different because the Baal HaChatzer, you can see the Baal HaChatzer, right from the window. Velo Matzi. Yeah, exactly what we just said. But he can't see you. Ki Heichen, why does that matter? That the Baal HaChatzer can't see you? This is key. So that you can be tzanua and protect yourself from him. See, again, it's all in the subtlety. It's like, it's different than the Ramban. Even though it's all about whether you can see him staring at you.
How is that so different?
It's different because in the Ramban, it's whether there's the fear itself will prevent the guy from spying. Here, it's if the fact that you can see him,
if he's gonna be seen,
you'll be able to protect yourself from what he's doing. So he may see, he may stare, he may pry, but at least you'll know to keep things private when it comes to a chatzer, because you'll catch him, you'll know, I need to be private now. It's like, again, it's all in the subtleties. V'ilu chatzer, ki mosif sharshifa v'chazila l'chavrei, yochel chavrei l'michzayim v'sanim. But when you bring a sharshifa into a chatzer, and he stands in it, you'll get him coming up, and you'll protect yourself, you'll keep your privacy. Okay, there's more to discuss in the details. The Ritva has another, addition, more like the Ramban, but also very similar. So the Ramban is what I'll call the psychological basis to not be concerned. And the Yad Rama is more like the structural, that the structurally you're not in as much of a compromised position, in a chatzer. Yeah, Erez.
The folks also just in person, right? Like the Ramban's point is like the guy is not going to look because he's worried.
Yeah, exactly.
But again, and this is what I want to ask about. I don't think it's a question to answer. Just to think about it, is there a consistent quote unquote null model that we see across all of them? Like, do we always assume that, people are going to try to look at you? Because earlier, we spoke about Azariah, we started to think about, well, if the guy says he's not going to look, and Like, he's really not going to look. And, like, Rabbi Yochanan to build this wall when, like, he says he's not going to look over the thing. But over here...
I think it depends on the level of hezekiah, number one, and the type of hezekiah. That's what it would depend on.
Consistent assumption seems like the guy's going to scheme to try to...
No, it's a suffix.
No, we're assuming...
He might.
He's going to try to see you with a sharjifa, but...
No, he might. He might. Not definitely. He might. We could assume the guy's like not going to spy. He's a good guy. Just he might.
All right, but worked out the case as if he's coming.
Say that?
As if he might. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
No, but that's important.
That possibility.
That he will look.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay. Possible he'll look. But that's the whole point. Like, do we care about being inoculated from all possible
right.
circumstances? That's very far from saying, like, people have a hachazaka. You know, they're going to stare yeah. very far.
Yeah.
Did I answer your question at all?
Yeah, I
understand. Okay. You're right. It's a good thing to open. Then there's another suggestion of the Ad Ramah that he suggests, but he ultimately rejects, which is like, I would categorize as like a third answer, where he basically says there's a major difference between the two cases. In the case of a chatzar, let's say, you're coming into a courtyard and, you know, it's an open property. I own 50% of it, you own the other 50%. And we have to figure out how to solve the problem that already exists. That's one kind of case. Building a wall to separate where a problem exists without either of you creating it. Versus a chalom, when you open a window, you know, above, you know, four amos, and create that, you know, that chashash that we're worried. There, we have higher standards for what the solution needs to be. When you're creating hezekiah, you're creating a situation of hezekiah, that's when we say, we have the extra, let's say, concern of maybe you'll stand on a sharshifa. When it comes to a chatzer, it's just, see, look, you're just resolving a problem that already exists, so then we tell you that doing the minimum is just enough. This goes to Joey's point. That if, in theory, there is a principle that we abide by, which is ein l'davar sof. Like, at what point are we going to say, you can be choshesh, you know, from here until the end of time? So this is basically the idea. When are we choshesh? We're choshesh when you're creating something that didn't need to have a problem. He was in his chatzer, and you opened the window that was l'mayla me'arba amos. There, we're concerned even for remote hezekiah. When it comes to a chatzer, where two people are just living, and they came into a situation where they need to have a divider, so then the minimum wall of Dala Amos will suffice. There we say, Ein Ladavar Sof. He rejects it partially because of the case of Nafa, where the wall falls, which sounds like a case where there's like now a new hezekiah. And he doesn't like it, although, you know, I think there's what to discuss. Maybe we should just document the language very quickly. Since I don't think we're going to have time for the Midas Sodom part of this topic, which is good. We'll save that to round off Wednesday, if we do Wednesday. But the Lashon in the Yad Ramah is as follows. The Ode, let's have some, Sammy, do you mind reading? The first word on the second side.
Ode, Gabe, Chaser.
Kevan, Dad, Hashta, until now.
Ave, Echa, Hezgriya.
There was Hezgriya the whole time. Dimbatsu, Chazul, Adade. And like the Yad Ramah, Afilu, Shloba, Kavana. It just... It's a place of hezekiah. It's like it requires immediate solution. Bakosel.
Bakosel arba amos sagu solkei hezekiah tishlov.
So to get rid of that hezekiah, that imminent immediate, you know, problem that needs solving, to get rid of hezekiah, that's enough to build a dalet amos. Di amris lechosh lahezekiah bekavana. Did we say now you should also be choshesh that he's going to stand on something and then see above the four amos wall that you built? Dilma Mosif Sharshifa Timichevan Lemichze Ain Ladavar Sov. Exactly those words. Never gonna end. Dinami Avdi Kosel Gavoa Esram Amo, you'll build a wall 20 amos high. Sorry. Sammy Ikolamechash.
Ikolamechash Dilma
Sula, maybe you'll get a ladder. That's 10 amos tall. They call him Mechazu and you'll see the guy. Like, at what point do we say cut this all out? Avagave Chalon. By a window, cave and that hashda lohav the matzi chazi leklal. You can't tell me yet. What does it mean? Until now, you can't You Ramesh couldn't, there's no hezekri at all. But you would open the window, yeah? Right. And you're now being able to creating a situation where you could theoretically see him, even though it's just a suffix. Even over 20 amos, he's able to force, Rabbi Elah says, and we paskin, he's able to force him. Even if it's that high, apparently. There's no recourse for someone to build a window. Let me just conclude this part. The Rishonim, you know, who, let's say, who read the sugya in Bava Basra this way, I'll explain what I mean in a minute, by making just one other suggestion. That's very important. Kind of, you know, latent or like, you know, implicit in one of the suggestions of the Rishonim, or really in many of them, is that maybe we could fundamentally distinguish, I'm kind of giving a fourth answer, we could fundamentally distinguish between the nature of Hezekriya in a Chatzer and the nature of Hezekriya in a Chalo. By Hezekriya on one level, on the one hand, it's much, much, much worse. We spend a lot of time discussing how when you're living in an open property and each person owns, like, you know, half, let's say, of this bigger lot, they're like default being mazik each other. They don't even have to try. It's just basically like a communal property. There's no privacy. Privacy has been eroded from this place. And that is the strength, I guess it's a funny way to say it, of the Hezekriya in Chatzar. That's what makes it so bad. So bad that maybe you'd say, Ein lo chazaka, the chatzer. Can't have a chazaka in a chatzer. By cholot, on the other hand, you have to have bikavan, you have to go look, you have to peer out of the window. So it's not as bad. But on the other hand, like, there's also an equal argument to make that chalon is worse. In terms of that part of it, you know, chalon's better. But in terms of maybe the psychological or the potential, you know, like having like a spying viewer, you know, a place from which to spy, from that perspective, the suffix Hezekriya type is really maybe much worse, or maybe only exists when it comes to a chalon. In a chatzer, that doesn't ever really make it to the script. It's not part of its story. The fear of overlooking or looking, you don't feel spied on. You might, again, the guy could look, he can see you, technically, but it's not a spying kind of a thing. You don't have like a hole that you're staring at him through. So especially the more we think it's like the psychological concern, you know, threatening the confidence you have in your privacy, there it's good to take note right now of the fact that maybe on the one hand chatzer is worse, but it also could be that chalon's worse. Just depends on what perspective you're thinking about the Hezekriya from, and all of this should go into the factor. What I want to leave you with as a cliffhanger for next time is that all the Rishonim we discussed right now read the Maskanas HaGemara as saying, Sof kol sof, kofin amida sedom. And why is it? So therefore, if it's zeh nan, if it's elo chaser, the Baal HaChatzer loses nothing. Of course, we're going to force him. He can't say anything. The window can stay. But Limaskana, the reason he could say something is because there's really Hezekriya here. And because there's really Hezekriya, according to Rabbi Elah, he could force him. And because there's really Hezekriya, the Rishonim say, what about other cases of Hezekriya? Why don't we say the same thing? The Kitsos has a totally different reading, if you read carefully, of the entire sugya. That in the end of the day, when we say Kofen Amidas Adom, we're not saying because there's Hezekriya, and this is not Midas Adom. But all we need to say is not that there's Hezekriya, but that what we thought in the Havamina was Midas Adom is really not Midas Adom. But you don't have to say that it's Hezekriya. It can just cross the Rubicon, cross the threshold of what we consider to be a Midah of Sodom. Maybe it just needs to be chaser ktsas, as opposed to not chaser at all. Next time we're going to discuss the ketos in Mirtz Hashem, and the implications that has on a broader level, in terms of the type of values we should be cultivating, the expectations the halacha has for us, in terms of private property, how much we should feel we're owners of what we are zocha to have, and all the good stuff, how that ends up being applied to Choshen Mishpat, what is Midas Sodom, we'll hopefully make a quick point about that next time. And then Monday, I don't know what we're doing, but we'll have the schus of doing a Chanukah shir together.